Amen. And be sure and congratulate Brian and Tina. They are now Mr. and Mrs. Brian Cox. And let's give them a hand. Amen. All right, back there in the back. We could have Brian give a speech, but I don't think he would. So anyway, congratulate them on their marriage. Praise the Lord. Well, we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And that is actually our next point. I'm in the longest message I guess I've ever written. Other than some series and stuff, although this is becoming a series. But you'll notice verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And as you maybe guessed, my next point is, I'm rejoicing because of his preparation. And so we're going to go back to that, but we're also going to look in Deuteronomy. Let's have a word of prayer, though, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the fact that when we need you, that you're always there. And help us to know that we need you in every aspect of our lives. And we do need you now in this service. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word, Father. I pray that you'll especially challenge anyone who's not saved today, someone who may be away from you, or just any one of us, Lord, that has a need today. I pray you'll meet that need in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm back in Deuteronomy chapter 16. We will go back to 1 Corinthians, but in Deuteronomy 16, I'm just going to read the verse that we started off with, and it's in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 10. Thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there, and thou shalt remember. And we talked about the fact that God has these feasts in the Bible, three great feasts in the Old Testament, the Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, Pentecost, another name for that is the Feast of Weeks. And that's what it's talking about here in verse 10. This one feast, one of the great feasts, the Feast of Pentecost or Feast of Weeks. And we just see the pattern here. And I just wanted you to see the pattern. It is a pattern God said that they were to do. They were to observe these feasts because within these feasts were really three things that are absolutely essential in the life of someone who is a Christian. They're essential. Number one is to remember. And, of course, we have the Lord's Supper. It is a remembrance time. You could call it a feast, though we're not eating to fill ourselves. It's a feast of remembering. It's a time, a memorial to remember the Lord and remember what he did for us. And a time of remembering should always lead us to a time of responding. We should remember what God has done, and we should respond. We should respond as they did here by giving, responding by giving sacrifices or giving a free will offering, the Bible talks about here. And, of course, in our giving, we think of a sacrifice of praise, the Bible talks about, and praising the Lord and thanking him for what he's done. And, of course, for a lot of people, that only takes place around Thanksgiving. And it should take place all the time, every day. We should be remembering what God's done and responding by giving. And then the third thing I found in verse 11 says, thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. And so there's remembering, there's responding, and there is rejoicing. And the title of the message I started last Sunday morning is I Am Rejoicing. And I hope you're rejoicing as well. And I'm rejoicing. And again, this was written after I heard Brother Nixon's message on I'm Miserable. And that was a great message, honestly. I make reference to that and have a couple times in counseling, you know, just look people in the eye and say, okay, are you miserable? You know, and by the look of the frown on your face and the weeping and the wailing and the maybe griping and complaining, I guess maybe you might be miserable. Well, I want to tell you today I'm rejoicing. I'm not miserable. I don't want to be miserable. I refuse to be miserable, and so I'm rejoicing. And so I followed my own prescription that I wrote down out of this passage and started to remember and started to respond, and the response led to rejoicing. And started last Sunday morning with these points. And I'm just going to go through the points real quick and get started here back in 1 Corinthians. But number one, I'm rejoicing because of perfect salvation. Praise God. Our salvation is absolutely perfect. I'm rejoicing, number two, because of a permanent salvation. And you don't think much about that. There's a lot of folks in this room. I'm going to guess probably a third of Christians, and I would guess this group right here kind of worry about that thing, about their salvation, about whether it really is permanent or not, whether you can lose your salvation. Praise God, you can't lose it. I said this in Sunday school. If you could lose it, we did, and we are. And it will be, because we couldn't keep it, because we couldn't get it. If you can't get it, you can't keep it. Praise God, it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Him keeping His word. And so it is a permanent salvation. So I'm rejoicing because of that. I'm rejoicing because of His pardon. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm rejoicing because of His promises. Hey, the whole book, the Word of God, the Bible, it is His promise to us. And He says it'll not return void. It'll always accomplish what He says it will. Praise God for the promises that God gives us. I'm rejoicing because of my position. I'm a son. I'm a servant. And as a pastor, I'm a shepherd. I'm rejoicing today because of my portion. And oh my, we've got so much good stuff coming to us. We really do. It's all here now. I mean, praise God for what we have. But praise God for what we will have. And the portion that we have. And of course, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. And then I praise God. I'm rejoicing because of His presence. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You say, I'm just having such a tough time and I'm miserable today. Listen to me. In His presence is the fullness of joy. Don't discard the presence of God Almighty. Certainly, I'm rejoicing because of His presence. And we ended last Sunday morning with that and started back in on Sunday night with number 8. And I'm rejoicing because of His protection. Praise God for His protection. We don't have to worry about the devil. We don't have to worry about the world. We don't have to worry about sickness. We don't have to worry about disease and problems and all that. Praise God for His protection. We don't have to worry about tornadoes. You know, it's tornado season. And one just north of here. But praise God for His protection. Number 9, I'm rejoicing because of His provision and how He takes care of me. My God shall supply all your need. And we take it for granted sometimes. You ought to rejoice today. You were fed this morning. And if you weren't fed this morning, you'll be fed in just a little while. And if you won't be fed in a little while, you'll be fed later on tonight. And if you didn't get fed or won't get fed later on tonight, you were fed yesterday. Come on. We can rejoice today because of His provision. Number 10, I'm rejoicing today because of His power. And reference was made in 1 Corinthians about the power of God on our lives. Thank God for His power. And I remind you of this, the joy of the Lord is your strength, the Bible says. And you say, I'm weak today. Hey, it's because you're not rejoicing today that you're weak today. And if you're weak today, it will lead you to more misery, because if we're weak, we fall, and misery leads to sin. And, well, it's a vicious circle. I thank God I'm rejoicing for His power today. I don't have to give in to sin. Nobody in this room has to give in to sin. If you sin today, it's because you chose to sin. You were not made to sin. You chose it. You have power to say no. Praise God for His power. I'm rejoicing today because of His power. And of course, that power is also good in our soul winning, our witnessing, our talking to our loved ones, our influence at work. Praise God. I'm rejoicing because of His power. I'm rejoicing because of His people. What a blessing to have Christian friends. What a blessing to be able to minister and work with and love His people. Praise God for His people. I'm rejoicing because of my potential. It's amazing the potential that we have. We have His joy, the Bible says. I mean, you know, you can rejoice today because you have His joy. And He said, no man can take that joy from you. So God says, here's my joy. I give you my joy, and no man can take it from me. Well, why am I so miserable? Because you gave it up. You gave it up. Nobody in this room that has Jesus Christ in their heart and in their life should be miserable today. Your potential is to rejoice. Your potential is to rejoice in the valley. Your potential is to rejoice in trial. Your potential is to rejoice, to sing, to praise God. Your potential is, I can do all things through Christ. I'm rejoicing because of my potential. I'm rejoicing because of my production. Amen. That I can work for God. And what a blessing that is. And we were made to be workmen and to work for the Lord. We are His workmanship. Praise God for my production. I'm rejoicing because of the product and the product of our lives. It talks about the product of a parent and their children. And praise God when your children are serving God and they love God and they want to do right. Praise God for the product of souls that we lead to the Lord. And the Bible talks about, 2 John says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. And that brings rejoicing because we see others that maybe we had an influence on and they're doing right. And I'm rejoicing because of the product. Amen. I'm rejoicing because of positive things. I talked about this last Sunday night. And you know, I just don't listen to negative stuff. I try to avoid negative. I try to get away from negative. I don't take negative stuff home with me. I mean, you know, honestly, if when I'm counseling, and certainly in counseling, there are negative things that come, but I don't dwell on that. I don't think about it, and I certainly don't bombard my wife with it. Some of you guys, you go to work and you get bombarded with negative junk, and you take it home with you, and you wonder why your wife's miserable. Hello, she greets you at the door. She's happy, you know, everything's good, and then you unload on her. What are you thinking, man? Huh? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And so I'm rejoicing today because all the positive things, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house. Why wouldn't we rejoice over that? Some of you need to tell your face we're back on this again like we were last week. You know, you walked out of here like that in a week and now you're back. Scary, isn't it? Hey, I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing because of positive things. Number 16, I'm rejoicing because of problems. You say that's a strange thing. I ended with that last Sunday night, rejoicing because of problems. And, you know, the Bible says over and over again, and probably as many verses on this as anything, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. When is that? That's when the fig tree shall not blossom. That's when there's no fruit in the vines. That's when the labor of the olive shall fail. That's when the field shall yield no meat. That's when the flock is cut off from the fold. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. And he says, yet I will rejoice, yet I will rejoice, yet I will rejoice. When all those things are going on, when the problems are in our lives, he said, I'm going to rejoice. I'm just going to rejoice anyway. And the Bible says that wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yeah. Yeah, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to rejoice. Yeah, but I got problems and all these things are going on. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I didn't write it, God did. Count it all joy. Amen. And so I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing over problems. I'm rejoicing that God believed, and I shouldn't even say believe. God knew I could handle the problem. God knew I could handle that problem. God is not unjust. God will never suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Never. He will not do it. And so you know if you have a problem, you know, God, I can handle this, can't I? I think. Can't I, God? You can, or you wouldn't have the problem. Amen. And I love that truth, and I'm rejoicing today because of that very thing. And it's amazing. Sometimes I will look at the problem that I'm facing, and I will recognize the fact that there is no way in this world I could have handled that 5 years ago. There's no way in the world I could have handled that as a young preacher. No way in the world I could. And I think, wow, praise the Lord. God, you put it off till now, and I know I can handle it. Amen. Amen. And so again, I'm just praising the Lord today. I'm praising the Lord and I'm rejoicing today because of His preparation. Back to 1 Corinthians 2. and verse 9. Now, we'll go ahead and stay there, and I'm just going to give you some verses. I've got lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of verses. I hope you're writing down the references, because especially if you're a grump today, these references will get you fired up. Everything's about joy and rejoicing. And you say, nope, I refuse. I'm going to just be a grouch. You're miserable. You better listen to Brother Nixon's message. It wasn't a pretty picture. Not pretty at all. By the way, it's not a good testimony either. For God's people to be miserable is not a good testimony. Would you agree? Okay, do this. Amen. Well, you don't have to do your eyes like that. I don't know. People say I make weird faces. But you know, I'm rejoicing today because of his preparation. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Who's that? That's us. That's a saved person. Amen. There are some things God has prepared for us. He has prepared things for. He's prepared. He prepared a wife for me. And the Bible says that I found a good thing. And praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so excited about that. But God had to prepare all that. And God had to prepare me for her. And God is good at preparing things. Amen. And his preparation is so good. But notice 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, as I quoted a little while ago, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I call your attention to that ye are able part. Okay? What's that mean? That means God is preparing me for tomorrow's temptation. He's preparing me for tomorrow's trial. He's teaching me lesson 7 and all the little points under lesson 7. And all of that teaching on lesson 7 is to prepare me for tomorrow's lesson 7 test. And he's preparing me. Why? Because I'm going to be ready for lesson 7 test once I'm finished with lesson 7. And I know that. You say, what if you flunk? Well, that's not his preparation fault. That's my preparation fault. That's my fault if I flunk. That's my fault if I yield to temptation. That's my fault if I give in to sin. But I know this for a fact. When that trial, temptation, problem, when it comes, I know I can win the victory. I know I can get a 100% because he has made sure I'm prepared to take that test. And I'm telling you, folks, if you just get a hold of that and let it get a hold of you, it would make you rejoice. You say, but I keep flunking. Okay, listen to me, but you don't have to. You don't have to. And you know, the next time you're in high school, next time that person comes and wants to tell you the dirty joke, you can say no. Amen. Next time somebody comes and they want to spread some gossip, you can say, I don't want to hear it. You really can. You really can. Because if you couldn't, it wouldn't happen. You're prepared. You are able. You are able. You are able. But I'm in this valley. I can't make it. You can make it, or you wouldn't be in that valley. Are you listening to me? It's not possible. God's promises are always true. Now, listen, I'm rejoicing today because of his preparation. He always, 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 always makes sure that I can handle whatever the trial is, but he also always makes sure there's a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. There's a preparation. I know how to climb the ladder to get out. I know how to go down underneath that thing to get out. I know how to crawl out. I know how. He has prepared me to get out of this thing somehow. Hallelujah. I love that. There's never going to be a time I'm in a corner and I can't, it's impossible to get out. It's not, that isn't going to happen. There's always, 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 always. Do you know why I think the devil comes and says, I want to do this? God says, he's not ready for that. You can't do it. Amen. Amen. Hey, whatever happened to Job? Job was ready. Job was prepared. Job could do it. God said, behold my servant. There's my servant Job. Do it. Do whatever you will to him. You can do all these things to him. And he says that. The accuser comes and he says, you know, I'm going to get after Brother Chase. Well, the devil doesn't say Brother Chase. I hope. That'd be a bad thing. Anyway, that Chase guy down there, I want to do this. And God says, you can do this, 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 and that's it. Can't do anything else. and all those things, he can handle it. And you know, you think you're cornered, you think you're in trouble. There's a ladder. And you know how to climb it. You can't escape. Always, always. The only way out, it's this body of water right here. What am I going to do? Just dive in, and you can swim under something. You can get out. Glory to God. Boy, am I the only one excited about this? I mean, I'm rejoicing because of his preparation. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amos 4:12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. His preparation, and he's preparing us. What are we getting prepared for? Oh, that's number 18. I'm rejoicing today, not only because of his preparation, I'm rejoicing because of prophecy. Oh, I'm rejoicing because of prophecy. Now, some people read the paper and get discouraged. Some people read the headlines and get discouraged. Some people read books and articles and magazines and get really discouraged. Some people read about the election and get really, really discouraged. Some people are reading about global warming. By the way, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this is the cause of global warming and we're not having snow in Michigan in the winter, hallelujah. Shouting territory. Yes, we are. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Oh, the magnetic polar fields are all going to do their thing, and we're all going to go blink. I got news for you. Christians are going to go blink, but it's not because of magnetic polar fields. We're going to go blink because there's going to be a trumpet and a shout, and we're gone. Glory to God. I mean, I'm rejoicing about all this stuff. Hey, you know, here Easter's coming. There's so much prophecy. And I thought, okay, I'm going to write it all. No. This would have been another week long. You know, but Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. John 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Talking about his body. John 2, 20, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. But when therefore he was risen from the dead, you hear it? He was risen from the dead. His disciples remembered he'd said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. Why? Because he was risen from the dead. And God said, years before it ever happened, I'll not let him stay dead. I'll lift him up. I'll raise him from the dead. And because he lives, I live. And I'm rejoicing. Over Easter, you say, oh, you know, I've always been excited about the Easter bunny. There's no rejoicing in an Easter bunny. You can buy chocolate anywhere. You could buy those chocolate eggs later on after Easter so much cheaper than you can now. Huh? You say, I got to have my Cadbury egg. Okay, get it and rejoice over that thing. But listen to me. Nothing can be more exciting than because he lives, I live. Up from the grave he arose. Well, I love it. I love it. I like to start it out real slow. Lo, in the grave he lay. You know, and we're all crying. Jesus, my Savior. But then, boy, you get excited. You get excited. Some of you need to get excited. Up from the grave, he arose. Glory to God. Hey, we're still Baptist here. This guy is. You know, I'm not going to go, I'm not into that. No. I'm rejoicing. He arose. But see, there's more to it than all that. Prophecy. Huh? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. See, a lot of people are ignorant. Huh? I didn't say it. He did. Pastor, you're not supposed to say that on Sunday. I'm not. He did, though. He can say anything he wants concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. What's that mean? That means rejoice. Sorrow not. That's rejoice. Be miserable not. That's rejoice. Amen. Even as others which have no hope. We have hope. Do you have hope or not? Are you saved? Then you sorrow not. Are you born again? Yeah. Oh, yeah, but the Antichrist is. Yeah, he's already probably here somewhere. Well, not here. I hope not. although he could use the Bible. That you sorrow not as those which have no hope. But I have hope. See, I've got all kinds of hope. In fact, hope is oozing today. Somebody said, what are you so happy about? I hope. I got hope. It's oozing from me. It ought to ooze out of you. Somebody needs it to ooze into you somehow, because I'm serious. Wow. You know, I look at Christians so much, it's like, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis. I don't think you have to worry about a tsunami here. Lake Erie, I don't think, will flow quite this far. Lake Michigan, I don't think it'll come over. It'll be a big splash. Huh? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we? Do you believe it today? Huh? You know, here comes Peter Cottontail. Hopping down the bunny. You ever see a bunny actually lay an egg? I still don't. Hippity hoppity Easter. What does that have to do with anything? I usually say, what's that have to do with the price of eggs in China? Well, I guess if you color your eggs, you got to know, and you live in China. Anyway. But hey, look, listen to me. Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to just get excited. Huh? If we believe, I do believe, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If we believe. You say, boy, that resurrection, that had to be good. We got something coming that's going to be as good. The rapture. Can you imagine what that's like? I mean, blink, we're gone. We're through the ceiling and the roof and the clouds, and there we are gathered together, and we're all going to look around like, and some, it's going to be hard to believe, Brother Korea. Some folks say, what happened? You ought to know what happened. It's a rapture. It's just going to happen. And we're just going to be there. Amen. And we're going to be, everything else is going to be left. Somebody says, are our clothes really going to be folded in place where we left it? Who cares? Or in the King James, who careth? Huh? I mean, who cares? What about my precious ring? Who cares? What about your false teeth? I mean, it's just, everything just drops. Can you imagine? Oh, glory to God. I wish I'd give some of you a glorified imagination. I'm serious. Prophecy's so good. I got to finish reading this. And see what happens? It's your fault. That's why I can't get through all this. But well, because you keep laughing. Try to be serious. You can't. All right, look. I don't even know where I am now. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Okay, if he comes tomorrow, that's us, unless you die tonight. Okay, we're the ones that remain, right, unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, yippee! I don't know if that's the shout. I'm not sure. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. If you're, look, seriously, if this happens at Memorial Day and you're out there visiting Aunt Minnie, where'd that go? Minnie, I never use that. But anyway, and I'm saying graves are opening up. Folks are coming out. You say, you know, it's going to be, wow, what is going on? You know, it's a rapture. You don't have to worry if you're at the cemetery and all that starts happening. It's a rapture. Just get ready. Amen. Glory to God. Whoops. All right. Oh, this is so good. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Wow. It's exciting. Then we which are alive and remain. Who's that? That's the ones that are still alive and remain. Amen. They shall be caught up together. Together. Oh, man. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. And then he says this, wherefore comfort. What's that mean? Well, somebody who's miserable, you can comfort them with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I'm trying to help you today. I really am. I guess I don't know of any time at a cemetery. There may be a time. I just can't remember a time that I haven't read that passage. Folks need comfort. God says comfort one another with these words. I want folks to be able to rejoice, honestly. I want them to be able to rejoice. It's not over when they say it's over. It's just getting started. Amen. I mean, I'm rejoicing today because of prophecy, because God tells me that's coming. In fact, God's prophecy makes it very clear that's next. And I really believe that. Don't know when next is. Could be 1,000 years. It's just next. I'm not looking for anything else to happen. That's going to happen. All these wars and rumors of wars, you know, it's sad, but hallelujah. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, you know, it's really looking bad. But it's not looking bad. It's not looking bad. It's exactly what God said it was going to be. Now, again, I wish folks would quit fighting. I wish everybody would get along, but we know everybody's not going to get along. We know those things are going to happen. And it's prophecy. It's prophecy. All the earthquakes, more and more and more and more, and the Bible said there would be. Huh? It's sad, but amen. The weather, the weird things, and all that's going on, and this winter, and oh, glory to God, and whatever it is, you know, global warming, and the guy that wrote about global warming also invented the internet, you know. Same guy, he's smart, but listen to me, folks. Honestly, all that's happening, just lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, glory to God. And Big Brother. I don't know if we ought to call him Big Brother, because ain't my brother. But they're watching you. Are they ever watching you? You have a cell phone on you? Do you have it on? Shouldn't. No. But, well, anyway. They know where you are. Do you know it wouldn't surprise me if one of these days they don't know what you're saying? Yeah. Wouldn't that surprise you? I mean, seriously. They not only know where you are and what you're saying, maybe they can see you. Satellites can see you. Yeah. You ever do, what's it called, Google Earth, I think it's called? Is that right? Does that sound like something? I just don't really understand a lot of that stuff, but you can zoom in on places, and you ever zoom in on your house?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? That's what we can do. What do you suppose they can do? So that's just all we can do. And who are we? We're no one. I wonder what all they can do. Isn't that exciting? I don't want anybody looking at me. I don't care. They can know where I am. They can know what I'm talking about. They can know what I'm doing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not doing anything that I'm embarrassed about. Amen? How about you? Do you know they're tracking you? Everything you do on the internet, they're tracking. Some of you post it. Everything you do. Picked my nose. It was wonderful. I don't know. I don't have any idea why anybody would want to read about stuff like that. I really don't. Popped a zit today, you know. I don't know. I don't understand. I'm not mad about it. I just don't get it. It's just, you know, update. Oh, I got to check on so-and-so and check on such-and-such. By the way, while you're checking on so-and-so and such, somebody else is checking on so-and-so and such. And they're tracking it all, and they got it all figured out. They know where you go, where you shop. That's going to be the next thing, by the way. Pop-ups to identify. Well, it is on your computer. They pop up to whatever you like. How do they know? Come on. Yeah, Facebook and where you go. Yeah, they know how to pop up. Pop-ups, that's funny, isn't it? Pop-up. And you say, oh, I'm disabling pop-ups. No, you're not. No, you're just disabling from you seeing it. Oh, well, anyway. They still are tracking everything you do, everything about you. They know you. They know where you are. And all that, you know, you say, that's scary. It's exciting to me. It is good stuff. You know, the cash register, boop. Remember those days? Boop, boop, boop. One of these days you're going to walk in, get what you want, walk out, and it's going to do everything. It's going to scan you. I'm so excited about that. You know why? Because in the tribulation time, no man can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. How could they do that? We see how they can do it now, don't we? You know how exciting that is to me? Now, again, it's sad. And but I'm rejoicing today because Lord, come quickly. Even so, come quickly. But here's what James 5, 7 says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And that leads me into number 19. I'm rejoicing over patience. I am rejoicing over patience. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says in James 5, 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who've spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy, which endure. What's that mean? Those that are patient are happy. They're rejoicing. Why? Because they waited. Patience. I'm rejoicing because I've waited. Oh, isn't that good? Isn't it wonderful? You ever do something you shouldn't have done? You ever get ahead of the Lord? Uh-huh. Yeah, I have. And I'm going to tell you something that is rejoicing when I don't. When I just wait on Him. You know, I just wait on Him. I'm just patient. Happy, which though we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Okay, you see the end of the Lord. Well, where's the end of the Lord? Well, it's over here, but you quit over here. But you missed out on over here. Over here's the end of the Lord. Right here's the end. This is what He wanted you to get. This is what's good. This is shouting territory. This is rejoicing territory. This is happy territory. You quit over here, and that's why today you're miserable, because if you'd have just been patient, you could have got to here to the end. And the end is always better than over here. I'm really making a mess. Oh, glory to God. The end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, the farmer plants his seed over here, but he's got to wait till the end. You know, he says, you know, I just planted my crops and it's April, but we really need the money from the crops. You know, I'm going to go ahead and harvest. Tough day, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. You say, well, preacher, that'd be kind of foolish for a farmer to do. It's just as foolish for a Christian to get ahead of God. And we do it. We do it all the time. I'm rejoicing today because of patience, because every time I've been patient, I got the end. Oh, glory to God. Now, see, you're weeping because you're thinking about all the times you quit. Think about God. God's got some more good stuff. Be patient. Be patient. Hebrews 10:36, ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Oh, glory to God. That's a good verse. Ecclesiastes 7:8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You hear that? Better is the end. The end. That's, God has something in the end. You know, well, I just got to hurry. And no, you don't. You just have to trust God. You know, that's one of the things we're adding on Wednesday nights. We add to our salvation all these things, and patience is one of those things. And I'm going to tell you something. The blessings that come from us just waiting on God are absolutely phenomenal. It's amazing, because God has a plan, and He has something that He wants you to have. But you got to go through all these things in this period of time, and finally, I just quit, and you just missed it. I'm talking about prayer requests. I'm talking about things that maybe you've been praying about 20 years. Pray 21. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. And be patient and trust Him and rejoice when you get the end result. That's why He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Because when He comes, it's going to be good. I mean, it is going to be so, so good. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. Boy, it's good. I'm rejoicing today. Are you rejoicing? I ask you again, as I did last week, why aren't you rejoicing today? Why aren't you rejoicing? Maybe you're not rejoicing today because you've never been saved. Oh, listen, I want you to get saved today. Please get saved. Please come to Christ. Please come forward. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved today. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm already saved, but God is speaking to my heart about something today in my life. Something God's dealt with me about. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Thank you. God bless you. Is there someone else? Pray for me as a Christian. Pray for me. I'm rejoicing today. I want you to rejoice. I want you to walk out rejoicing in your heart. I want you to rejoice in the Lord today. Father, bless the invitation. Help us all to leave here rejoicing. And if that requires us coming to an altar and talking to you about some things, then may it be so. Because I thank you that we still open up the altar. And so I pray we'll do business, because you've done business in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.